It's a family thing since 1939.
710. Hey, ESPN.
And what a Tuesday night it is. We had the Eastern Conference Finals Game 1. What a thriller.
Working against Butler. Got downhill. Couldn't punch it. Bam says get it out of here. Out of bio. Sky high with the block and rejection.
Heat outlast the Celtics in OT. Tonight, who will the Lakers play? Clippers Nuggets is underway. Scott Kaplan's going to keep you up to date on all of it. Plus his thoughts on Rams football week 1 and so much more. You know, it's a nighttime tradition you just don't want to miss. The Scott Kaplan Show for a Tuesday night.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? Scott Kaplan here on 710 ESPN. Glad to be with you on a Tuesday night. So much going on tonight, man. The Clippers are leading the Nuggets 56-54 at halftime. Clippers were up by 8-9 points just about a minute or so ago. And Denver just keeps firing back. You've had this team down by 16 points. You've had them down by 19 points. You had them down 3-1. And they fired back. It's 3-3. It's game 7 tonight. And Denver is down by 2 to the Clippers. Now, really quickly, we were having this conversation with George and LZ. I was under the assumption that everybody wanted what I wanted, which is LeBron versus Kawhi, Lakers versus Clippers. The Clippers have gone out and gotten the best available guy they could get. And Kawhi, for the longest time, seemed to be stringing the Lakers along. I know a lot of Laker fans don't like Kawhi for that reason. Remember last year when fans actually used to go to sporting events and Kawhi came up on the video board at the Coliseum during a Rams game and everybody in the entire crowd booed Kawhi Leonard? It wasn't like, yo, wait a second, I'm from here and I just won another championship. And I came here, not to the Lakers, but to the Clippers. Why are you people booing me? Because you're a Clipper, not a Laker. And because you strung the Lakers along. I thought everybody wanted to see the same thing that I want to see, Clippers and Lakers. But let me just say this. A lot of times, we don't really ultimately get what we want. How many times have you wanted to see Phil and Tiger walk up the 18th at Augusta, and it just never really materialized? How about when LeBron went to Miami and we were all hoping LeBron and Kobe, and it just never really materialized? And so I'm worried that what we want is LeBron versus Kawhi, and it might not materialize. And at halftime, the Clippers are up by 2. That's it. 56-54. Clippers lead at halftime. Stand by on that, because on my other monitor, I've got the Padres and the Dodgers tonight. Dodgers leading 2-1. It's the bottom of the fourth. This series is a monster deal. If you're the Padres, if you're the Dodgers, you're looking at this like, we're the Dodgers. We're the 7-time division champs. We're the guys with the big payroll. We're the guys that have been into the World Series. We haven't won. We got it, but we've been there. You guys have been the little cute Padres down in sleepy little San Diego. You've been kvetching for years. We can't keep up with the Dodgers. We can't keep up with their payroll. We don't have the cable TV package. We don't have a regional sports network like they do in LA. You've been complaining for years that you can't, and you finally are. And now, at least for the Padres side of it, winning last night and the way they did it, and getting to Kershaw and staring him down and yelling into the Dodger dugout and having Kershaw after the game like, yeah, I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm not going to battle down to those guys. And then Dave Roberts, who himself is from San Diego as a high school superstar football and baseball player, went to UCLA. I'm sure you know the story. Lives in San Diego during the offseason and obviously manages the Dodgers and says, and by the way, former Padre player and worked there and never got a shot to be the Padres manager. They hired this little guy, Andy Green, and then they hired this no-name guy, Jace Tingler, and Dave Roberts never got his shot. So after the game last night, when they're asking him, well, Dave, what'd you think about this guy, Trent Grisham? I mean, who is this guy? Tossing his bat and staring down Clayton Kershaw. And Dave Roberts says, and I'm paraphrasing, but I'm getting close. He's like, yeah, like that guy, good player. But Clayton Kershaw is a star, and Clayton Kershaw has earned the respect of everybody around Major League Baseball, and this guy right here, I don't really know what his deal is. And I'll play this for you later on as the evening goes on. But that's essentially what he said. And Dave Roberts is getting ripped by a lot of people, including some Dodger fans that are like, yo, Doc, remember what happened last year between Muncy and Baumgartner? And Baumgartner was jawing at Muncy, and Muncy told him up in San Francisco after hitting a bomb out into the cove, hey, go out in the ocean and get the ball. If you don't like it, go out in the ocean and get it. And then Muncy shows up at Dodger Stadium for batting practice with a t-shirt that says, go get the ball from the ocean. Hey, look, if I were the Dodgers, I certainly wouldn't like it either. That's Clayton Kershaw, and I don't know who that guy is that just hit that home run and flipped that bat. I don't even know who that guy is. But man, Doc, I mean, you and the team have done this yourselves. So don't be hypocritical about it. Just deal with it. And dealing with it means the Dodgers are up 2-1 right now. If you're the Padres and you win this game, you are going to believe you have a legit shot. If you're the Dodgers and you win this game, you're going to go, yeah, that's kind of what we expected. And losing game one and falling apart and a bunch of throwing errors, it happens. No big deal. All right. So Clippers, 56-54 at halftime. Dodgers 2-1 over the Padres. And we're going into the fifth inning. We are officially underway tonight. It's Scott Kaplan on 710 ESPN. Let me say hello to my production team. My man, they call him J-Lo.
Hold on. I'm dancing.
There's my man right there, Jesse Lopez, producing tonight. What's up, J-Lo?
Not much. Just I'm excited. I got the Clippers Nuggets game on one screen and the Dodger game's on another screen. The Clippers game is... I'm on the fence about it right now because we're not looking too good, but the Dodger game has me smiling currently.
All right, you say we're not looking good. You heard my point earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you want to see the Clippers and the Lakers? Don't you want to see Kawhi versus LeBron?
I do. I really do. But at the same time, just bring on the Nuggets. It's all good. The Clippers are the Clippers. The Clippers do Clipper things. Doc Rivers does Doc River things. It's all good. Just bring on the Nuggets.
All right, there you go. See, I thought I knew what everybody was thinking. All right, let me say hello to the man who's running this operation this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, Curtis Poindexter.
What's standing on the wall like you was Poindexter?
What's going on tonight, Curtis?
Well, it's kind of weird now going back from jumping around since we produced last week, but it's all good now watching this game, hoping we find out our Lakers opponent soon.
Well, you're going to find out. And later on tonight, we're going to give you a chance to predict the final score between the Clippers and the Nuggets. And the person who comes closest without going over is going to win NBA 2K21 video game for Xbox One, PS4, Nintendo Switch, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So we got a great show coming up tonight. We really do. I'm loving tonight's show. We're going to start off tonight because we're at halftime between the Clippers and the Nuggets, and we're still early enough here in the Padres and the Dodgers. I'm going to start off with Kirk Morrison, who's going to join us. You guys know Kirk, obviously former great player with the Raiders, and now handles the pre and the half and the post game for the Rams. Rams victorious yesterday over the Cowboys. SoFi Stadium on television looks insane. I keep seeing all of our ESPN 710 colleagues with their pictures on Instagram. Look at me. I'm cool. I'm in the stadium. I'm going, look at me. I'm jealous. I'm sitting here watching this on TV. So I can't wait to talk to Kirk Morrison. And by the way, the Dodgers have just hit a solo home run, and the Dodgers have just taken now a 3-1 lead. Edwin Rios, his fourth home run of the season. And this is what I was talking about. You know, we were questioning, will the Dodgers retaliate tonight against the Padres for that bat flip and all the talking? And if I were Dave Roberts, and I know Dave well, I'm sure he was in that clubhouse selling, dude, we don't need to throw at these guys. We don't need to start a bench clearing brawl. You know what we need to do? We need to hit and we need to win. Dodgers with a 3-1 lead, top of the fifth inning. All right, we are officially underway. So happy to be with everybody on a Tuesday night. Going to give you the phone numbers, going to let you jump in for sure, going to open the phones. But coming up to get us started tonight, Kirk Morrison is here. Let's find out what Kirk thinks about the Rams, week one around the NFL, and we'll be keeping our eyes on these Dodger game and also this Clipper game. Don't go anywhere. This is Scott Kaplan. This is 710 ESPN. All right, still at halftime, Clippers 56, Nuggets 54. It's Scott Kaplan on 710 ESPN. keeping my eye, though, tonight more so on the Dodgers and the Padres, and I know you guys are going to disagree with me. And I posted this question earlier this evening. You guys tell me, what's the bigger story tonight? Clippers trying to close out the Nuggets, had a 3-1 lead. They've blown a 16-point lead and a 19-point lead. Clippers getting ready to get back on the floor here for the third quarter. Is that the bigger story tonight? Or the Dodgers, who seem to be in total control of the NL West, all of a sudden have lost 5 of 8 games, lost their first series of the year a couple back, and are playing the absolute red-hot Padres, who've won 8 games in a row, 23 of their last 25. Let me tell you something. Justin Turner is back tonight, and he's DHing for the Dodgers, and he's been on the IL, and the dude is 3-for-3 on the night, and he just got a single, and he's on first base, and it's 3-1 Dodgers over the Padres. So I just asked this question. I've tweeted it. If you see my Twitter, at Scott Kaplan, click on the link that I've given you and vote. Vote on this topic. You guys tell me, what's the bigger story tonight, Clippers, Nuggets, or Dodgers, Padres? Jesse, how would you vote?
Clippers, Nuggets. I vote that.
Curtis Poindexter, how are you voting?
100% Clippers, Nuggets.
Okay, Kirk Morrison is here from the Rams broadcast. He's handling the pregame, the halftime, the postgame. He's got a brand new podcast with Sirius. We'll hear about that in a second. Kirk Morrison, good evening. Kirk, you tell me, bigger story tonight, Padres, Dodgers, Clippers, Nuggets.
Clippers, Nuggets, that's not even a question. I think everybody knows that if the Nuggets were to beat the Clippers tonight, I'm not sure I would watch the Western Conference Finals, right? I would just be like, whatever, because the Lakers are going to run right through it. I would be more interested in the Miami versus Boston. I'll be in the Miami versus Boston series, because I think that would be probably the more entertaining one, because we know that the Lakers are just that much better than the Denver Nuggets.
At least that's our perception. I mean, certainly if the Nuggets were to get by the Clippers, we would think, well, the Lakers are going to crush these guys. But if the Clippers get by, we're going to go, wow, that's going to be really a great series. 61-54, 10:34 to go in the third quarter. Kirk, you picked the Clippers, didn't you?
Yeah, I picked the Clippers to win the Western Conference Finals, actually to win the championship altogether. So I think a lot of people did. And right now, I think this is what you go through. You always go through a certain scare at some point in a playoff run. I wouldn't expect it a game 7 playoff scare, but if the Clippers win, definitely battle tested. Hopefully iron the Kings out a little bit, but I mean, the Lakers are just sitting back resting. They look pretty good, but I think we all just want to see this matchup. This has been the matchup before the season started. This is what we all have been waiting on. So hopefully the Clippers can hang on, because I do want to see Kawhi Leonard. I do want to see, you know, LeBron James, those two go at it a little bit. You know, let's see if there's a nice little rivalry that we can see over the next couple of years. And I know it starts with that series, but we just need the Clippers to get there.
All right, Kirk Morrison, let me turn our attentions here tonight on the Scott Kaplan Show on 710 ESPN. Let me turn our attentions from NBA basketball and big game tonight in Major League Baseball between the Dodgers and the Padres. But I got my TV back now on Clippers Nuggets, 61-59. The Clippers lead. This is a close game. I mean, this is, I would have thought the Clippers would have come out tonight and taken care of business. They had an 8-9 point lead in the first half, and they squandered it. And so here we are, 2-point game with 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. Kirk, let's talk about the Rams. Give me a first impression of their victory over Dallas the first night, the opening night at SoFi.
Yeah, I thought they played well, man, in all areas, too. I love what they did offensively. They just looked like a tough football team. They were got physical up front at the line of scrimmage. Jared Goff was on point. He was in rhythm. He looked comfortable back there. The running back situation led by Malcolm Brown, who actually did not start the game. It was Cam Akers. But I thought that the flow of the game, Malcolm Brown was the better runner for just that matchup against the Cowboys. Defensively, I was really impressed with the Rams, and especially the secondary, right? Jalen Ramsey, you know, obviously people are going to talk about the call at the end, but I thought he did a tremendous job throughout the game. And the young safeties just playing well. Jordan Fuller with the play of the game. I said it was a defensive play of week one throughout the NFL, his stop of CeeDee Lamb on a 4th and 3. But I think overall, just my assessment of the Rams, good, I mean, I would say a good week one win They opened up SoFi Stadium, which is what you want to do, open up your building with the win. Still some room for improvement, but I think a lot of people realize that this Rams team isn't going anywhere. I don't know if they're on the pace that we saw a couple of years ago that brought them to a Super Bowl, but I can tell you this. A lot of people saw this Rams team and said, with all they lost from last season, they look to be a team that's on a mission and maybe a little bit better than they were a year ago.
All right, Kirk Morrison on the Rams yesterday, or it was actually Sunday night, and defeating the Dallas Cowboys 20-17. You mentioned the pass interference call, the offensive pass interference call late in the game that Jalen Ramsey was able to get. He got that penalty. You tell me, you think that's a legit call? You think that's a good call?
I think it's a legit call. And the only reason why I say that is because when you look at the play in real time, Jalen Ramsey not only sold that, but the arm was there. And if you slow it all the way down in the slow motion, I mean, come on. If people have never been to an NFL game or just a game in general and has watched a game from the sidelines, Scotty, you've been there, you've seen these plays happen in real time. That is a difficult call to not only make, but to actually overturn. So it's really almost a judgment call. I thought what I called it was a reputation call. I called it was like similar to like a LeBron James, Michael Jordan in his heyday, Kobe Bryant, guys who have a reputation for how good they are as a player. You're going to get the call your way a lot more times than not. And I thought that's what Jalen Ramsey was a beneficiary of, that being his reputation as one of the best corners in the league. It was may have been a slight push, but Gallup did push off, and if the officials saw it that way, I think that that's the call that they got. But let's not forget about earlier, you know, Jared Goff being slapped in the face, all right, and throwing an interception on a play that should not have happened. So I thought it was a makeup call for what we missed earlier that actually set the Cowboys up with points.
Right. On that play you mentioned, Goff got hit in the head. It should have been a penalty. It wasn't. Nobody called it. It's like, what are you people looking at? Isn't one of your jobs to just keep your eye on the quarterback? So that was one that the Rams did not get. And then, you know, makeup call or not, I will say this. I thought it was a legit call. I didn't think it was a good call. And I thought Ramsey was doing a football flop, meaning his arms are up in the air like, hey, somebody throw a penalty flag. Look what he just did to me. It's a legit call. I think it's a weak call by a referee that late in the game. Luckily for the Rams, it turned out to be a call that helped them seal the deal and win the game. Kirk, let me ask you a couple other questions while I've got you here tonight. How about your Raiders? You know, go on the road week one, cross country, and now they get to open the season this Monday night against Drew Brees and the Saints. That was a pretty impressive week one win for the Raiders.
Yeah, it was. It was a game I broke down this weekend, actually, over the last couple of days. Watched the Raiders. They look good offensively. They got some guys in some places now. Henry Ruggs III, one of the fastest guys in the NFL, was outstanding. Josh Jacobs, someone asked me, who do you think is going to lead the NFL in rushing? And everyone's saying, you know, Henry, McCaffrey, Cook, and I'm saying it's going to be Josh Jacobs. I think that this the Raiders' offensive line is probably one of the better offensive lines in the NFL, and Josh Jacobs is a really, really good back. But I think they got some things going. Now, look, it was Carolina. It was week one, and they held on for a win. But you mentioned it. They're going to open their new stadium on Monday night against Drew Brees. And I know Drew and those guys are going to try to come in and spoil the party for the Raiders. But for week one, that's a solid win for the Raiders. But now this is what the NFL is about. Can you back it up in week two? I think now all the eyeballs will be on you. Not many people are going to watch the early game on Sunday against Carolina, but all eyes will be on Monday night. And I think that's going to be the true test of where this Raider team is at.
And it's funny you say about eyeballs being on something. How about the Clippers and Nuggets on Sunday playing at 10 a.m.? Guys, did nobody tell the NBA that the NFL was kicking off at the exact same time week one? Like, I literally did not watch 1 minute of that Clipper game and assumed that with a 19-point lead, they were going to win no problem. I was all NFL on Sunday. It's the only thing I saw. Who put an NBA game at 10 o'clock in the morning?
I think we all were doing the same thing, Scott. I think we all looked at the halftime score. I said, oh, man, it's over. Good. I don't know if I watched a minute or two. I just check the score. I mean, this was my Christmas day, right? Opening day of the NFL. So I'm sorry, NBA, you had to take a back seat. But then you say, wait, they lost? I can't believe that they lost. Right. But it did give me something to watch on Tuesday night. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Right now, Denver's got a one-point lead over the Clippers, 6:30 to go in the third quarter. Kirk Morrison is here on the Scott Kaplan Show. Did you see Gruden this past weekend? I tell you what, man, it's pretty damn hot in Las Vegas, man. I tell you what, been sitting in my house, man, got to get some workouts in with my son Deuce. Did you see my man Gruden? Gruden is like, I tell you what, man, I'm getting a little older. I'm not feeling so good, not hitting that treadmill, man. What is going? My man Gruden is getting big.
Well, I think he's, you know, the quarantine has gotten the best of him, right?
I know. What do they call it? The quarantine 15 or something like that?
Yeah, the quarantine 15, definitely. But I think also, too, having friends that lived in Vegas, it's been exceptionally hot, too, as well, to a point where you just want to stay indoors. And when you stay indoors, you get comfortable, you get the air conditioning going, and you probably don't feel like, do I need to work out today? Do I not? But we'll see. I think he's comfortable, too. And look, the Raiders got brand-new digs as well. That's a brand-new facility that they have that they practice at every single day, something they never had. When I was a Raider, it was a decent facility. But with all the amenities now, the new age stuff that they got going in Las Vegas, yeah, I think you can get real comfortable over there. So I think he'll get into a routine soon enough.
All right, Kirk Morrison, tell me this. I was told today, and I saw it on Twitter, you've got a new podcast that debuted today through Sirius Satellite Radio. I know you've been working for those guys for a while. Tell us what this new podcast is about and how people can get it outside of just on satellite radio.
Yeah, you can get it on anywhere that you go find your podcast. So you can go to Apple Podcasts. You can go to the SiriusXM app. Look up Total Coverage is the name. And I just basically break down just plays throughout the weekend or things that I see. And this week, I'm actually about to drop it. As soon as I get off the interview, I'm going to drop the episode that I taped earlier today, Scott, because the one thing that I really saw that stood out to me in week one were the six quarterbacks, but the seven scoring touchdowns, rushing touchdowns by quarterbacks. To me, that stood out more so than anything, Scott, because in week one, teams tend to show things early to just put it on tape. But now that I know that some of these quarterbacks have that in their bag, as they say in the NBA, that can scare a defense for the entire season. Like that Joe Burrow run against the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm playing against Joe Burrow for the rest of the season, the next 15 games, right, I have to, as a defender, remember that play in week one that, hey, this kid can run, so I can't vacate the middle of the field. And these are some of the plays that I want to bring to just the fans out there that when you go through film study, these are the types of things that you can never forget when you're watching film. And then just also like just plays such as the one I talked about earlier with Jordan Fuller for the Rams, the safety, what he had to get done in order to make the play on CeeDee Lamb. I broke that play down as well. So it's what I call Total Coverage. It's a little fun thing that I started this year. SiriusXM gave me the platform to go out and just talk about some of the things that I see during the NFL weekend. So I'm excited to drop the first pod today.
All right, man. Hey, you know what my takeaway was from week one? Not that you asked, but I'll just give it to you, is that preseason it's completely unnecessary. Like, I always thought preseason was necessary because you had to get a little bit of tune-up in. And there are certain coaches like Sean McVay that don't play certain players the entire preseason. So a Jared Goff will go into a regular season having not played at all in a preseason game. But it doesn't mean he hasn't scrimmaged against another team and had to face live fire, right? So what I think I learned this week was, or at least through week one, is that the quality of football is no different whether they play four preseason games or they don't. Now, as someone like myself, who is an undrafted free agent kicker who is scratching and clawing and trying to make a roster, without those preseason games, guys like me are screwed. We got no shot. So for the little guy, I want them to have an opportunity. But the fact is, football didn't look different because there were no preseason games. That's my week one takeaway.
Yeah, you know what? I would agree to some to a little bit of that, but I think the caveat for me would be I do want to see at least one preseason game for what you mentioned to get some of those guys at the bottom of the roster who are going to fill out your practice squads, at least get them some playing time, see what you may have. But also what I did see, also something, it was kind of minor, but it did stand out, was coaches and clock management, right? The communication. We saw with Vic Fangio on Monday Night Football, not calling timeouts. We just saw some other situational things that you can't bring up those scenarios in practice. You have to do it and work through it in a game setting. And preseason is where you can work some of those kinks out. So I would say one preseason, two at the max, but and I'm saying that from a former player, I think that you do need at least one or two just to get the flow of what it's going to feel like. You don't have to play your starters. It could be a bunch of young guys or a glorified college all-star game. But I think one or two preseason games would definitely help, I think, with the communication that some of the coaches and teams had in week one.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point. That I'm looking at it from a game perspective. Do I see a difference? Do I see a lower quality of football as a result? I don't, but I understand exactly what you're saying. By the way, as we're saying good evening and good night, the Clippers are down by 6. 76-70, 2:55 to go in the third quarter. Clippers are down, and this is going to be, it should be, an amazing fourth quarter. Kirk, have a great night. I can hear the kids. Put them to bed. Thanks for being with us every week. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Scotty. All good, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, you got it. Kirk Morrison from the Rams pre, half, and post-game show. You hear him right here on Sundays on Rams broadcasts on 710. And Kirk's got himself a brand-new podcast through Sirius. Okay, don't go anywhere, because all night long, we're going to be watching this Clipper game. And we're going to be watching the Dodger game. Top of the sixth, Dodgers leading 3-1 in San Diego. And right now, at a TV timeout, the Nuggets 76, the Clippers 70. Here's the deal. Tonight, we have, for those of you that are gamers, and for those of you that aren't gamers, don't think like you shouldn't try and win this thing. You should try and win this thing. Makes for a great gift. I know some of you will put it on eBay, but here's the deal. We're giving away a copy of NBA 2K21. Jesse, I know you're a gamer, okay? And
yes, sir.
I'm told this is the bomb game. If you're into basketball and you're a gamer, this is it. People can win right now. Here's how you do it. Get on the phone. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710. Give me the last four numbers. I've got ESPN right here in front of me. What are the last four numbers? I hate when I give letters. I'll find them. That's what I thought. I almost had it committed to memory, and I didn't want to say it because just in case I got it wrong. 877-710-3776. Call the show right now. Here's what I want you to do. You're going to get on the air, and I want you to make a prediction. We've got 2 minutes and 55 seconds to go. The Nuggets are up by six over the Clippers. I want you to call and predict the final score. The person that calls and comes closest to the final score without going over. It's like a showcase showdown. You ever see The Price is Right? Showcase showdown. You know, the showcase showdown could be 15,000. But if you said 16,000 and you were still closer, you've gone over. You're done. You lose. We're going to do a showcase showdown tonight. Predict the final score and who wins. Whoever comes closest to the final score, we're going to call you live on the air when the game is over, and we're going to hook you up with this NBA 2K21. There's the number, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. If you want to win the game, you got to call and get on the air now, because we don't want this late in the fourth quarter. We want this before the fourth quarter. So make that call right now. This is the Scott Kaplan Show on 710 ESPN.